I'm Greg. This is John. Hey.
Hi, you guys. It's our great honor tonight to introduce an artist we feature on Earth Songs quite a bit. Greg will tell you about him.
Well, you probably know this man from many, many years of poetry and music and activism and great support for community radio throughout the years. And we're just thrilled that he's here, and I'm sure he has some terrific insights about what's going on in the world and what's going on in our minds and our hearts and our souls, and it's going to be a great evening. Please welcome John Trudell.
Thank you. And before I start, I'm going to tell you I'm crazy, okay? And I'm going to tell you this because I owe it to you. I owe it to myself, right? So if anything, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but I will be as coherent as I can for as long as I can. And if my coherency alienates you or offends you, it's not intended to do that, all right? And so I'm going to start by reading some poems, and then we'll see. In the reality of many realities, how we see what we see affects the quality of our reality. We are children of earth and sky, DNA, descendant, now ancestor. Human being, physical spirit, bone, flesh, blood as spirit, metal, mineral, water as spirit. We are in time and space, but we're from beyond time and space. The past is part of the present. The future is part of the present. Life and being are interwoven. We are the DNA of earth, moon, planets, stars. We are related to the universal. Creator created creation. Spirit and intelligence with clarity. Being and human as power. We are a part of the memories of evolution. These memories carry knowledge. These memories carry our identity. Beneath race, gender, class, age, beneath citizen, business, state, religion, we are human being. And these memories are trying to remind us, human beings, it's time to rise up. Remember who we are. Last night in a dream, I interrogated God. Why is it the good die young? What's the reason to this? We talked, we argued, we cried. I never did get any answer, but God knows I tried. The answers already know a question for the question. Who is it took the creation story, claimed it, then took it apart, glorifying obedience and fear, a rampaging through the mind, stamping uncertainty into the heart. Then there's that original sin and something about the devil to pay, and that golden rule, do unto others, obviously isn't really a rule. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, the violence gets violenter, while God just sits there with nothing to say. I've read it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. I've never read it said, in the beginning was thought, and the thought was think, what that has to do with anything. See, sometimes I'm going to explain my crazy, and somehow this fits in what all you're doing here, okay? See, sometimes I feel like I'm in a reality where we don't know who we are. We don't understand the language we speak. We don't know our purpose. It's like being just completely lost. And I look at all of the issues that we have to deal with. You know, when I started as an activist late 60s. And I know at that time our intentions were good. Our motives may be questionable, but our intentions were good. Our idealism was good. And we gave it the best that we had because right is right and what's not fair is not fair. So we did this. And here we are today, 30 years later for me, and the beast is just as big and ugly as it ever was, and it's more dangerous than it ever was. And then that made me think, well, hold it now. We did it in my generation, but if one looks at history, they will see that every generation has done this. But the beast remains intact. So it has found it. So there's some type of a way the beast feeds off of the energy that we put into our emotion. But if our intentions are good and our ideals are good, then what's missing? Because we have skills, we have knowledge, we have information. And what I think is really missing, it's got something to do with we don't recognize ourselves. I think it's got to do with the very essence of who we are, because the bad guys are going to always be the bad guys, and the bad guys are going to always do what they do. So let's go back. We're human beings. Human, the visible, visible, being, the invisible, visible. Human, the DNA of the human. Our bone, flesh, and blood is literally made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. We are shapes of the earth. All things of the earth are made up of the same metals, minerals, and liquids. So all things of the earth are shapes of the earth. We have being. Our being comes from our relationship to the sun, sky, universe. It's almost literally like sunlight is like the sperm that brings life to the water-bearing womb that is the earth. Our being is connected to that. All things of the earth have being. Stones, trees, everything has being because everything has the same relationship, is made up basically of the same DNA, and has the same relationship with the sun, sky, universe. So all things have being. And I think for us as human beings, well, let's go back. For us as human beings, in our particular form and purpose in this living reality, our Creator gave us intelligence. Intelligence. It's our medicine, it's our protection, it's our self-defense. Our intelligence. We live in a predatory reality now. See, I think we're being mined. And in this predatory reality, let's take the bone, flesh, and blood of the earth that's the uranium. So the uranium is taken out of the earth and put through this mining process. And the being part of that uranium is converted into a form of energy that we are told is power. And in a way, it is power, but really it's a mutation of power because it's a power that man creates and manipulates out of an existing resource. But it's not power in its whole original form. They do it with the fossils. We know they take that DNA out of the earth and put it through the mining process and convert the being of that into a form of energy that they tell us is power. Well, I think that they do the same thing to us. They mine the being part of human through the manipulation and programming and indoctrination of our intelligence. So as soon as we're born into this reality, they step right into the programming begins immediately. Mining the being part of human. Now when they mine the uranium or the fossils, we know that it leaves behind poison and toxic waste. When they mine the being part of human, it leaves behind poison and toxic waste. But that poison and toxic waste, this is the fears, doubts, and insecurities, all right, that affect our perception of reality. And if they affect our perception of reality, therefore affecting our perception of the reality of who we are and our abilities. And once these fears, doubts, and insecurities attach, take hold, and start to manifest, we then start to view life through a perception of our inabilities, our fears, our doubts, and our insecurities. That's the pollution that is left over. And it seems to me that a part of this whole thing is about keeping our intelligence disoriented and confused. Because if we don't think clearly and we don't think coherently, and if we don't understand the value and power of our intelligence, then we live in these little worlds of frustrated chaos. We maybe have good intentions and attempting to do good things, but we're in a way we've been programmed to create the illusion of motion as the actuality of motion. So I think that this is the situation we as human beings are in today. Now, in our intelligence, to understand the power of our intelligence, through our fears and doubts and insecurities, how bad can you make yourself feel? I mean, just how worthless bad can you make yourself feel? How far down can you take yourself when nobody's looking? Sometimes even when people are looking. That's the power of our intelligence. That same intelligence and that same connection to power could be used in a more clear and coherent way to make ourselves feel as good, as purposeful, as we can make ourselves feel bad. The power of our intelligence. In the way that the mining process has worked, the biggest thing that leaves behind the fears, doubts, and insecurities is this idea of guilt. Yeah, to me, guilt, that's like a little religious M&S, S&M. I never could quite get it. Well, if it makes me feel so damn bad, why do I keep bringing it back? Not only that, if it makes me feel so damn bad, why do I keep bringing it back, but create more? That's totally incoherent to me. There's nothing clear about that. It's just a distortion. The reality of life, as human beings, we're not supposed to judge anything. We're supposed to recognize. We were given intelligence to have the ability to recognize. Judging isn't recognizing. Judgment itself gets in the way of recognition. And usually what judging ends up doing is we end up judging ourselves the harshest, behind the mask where nobody can see. This keeps us all out of synchronicity, keeps us participating in reality with a distorted perception. And see, and for people that want to, you know, and in the time that we're in and in the need to communicate, because the beast that we're against, that's against us, this whole thing that we're facing and confronted with, the one thing we have the ability to do, that the one thing that they fear the most is clear and coherent thinking. The guns and the bombs and the money systems and all of this, they don't fear that. They thrive off of it. They just convert it into energy. They convert all that human being, all that being in motion into a form of energy, and they just eat off of it. But clarity and coherency is the one thing that they fear from us, because they understand that's the reality of our relationship to power. The reality of our relationship to power is clear, coherent use of our intelligence. And to every human being that prays to a creator, irregardless of how they identify the creator, to every human being that prays to a creator, I think that human being should give, number one, should give thanks for life every day, and number two, give thanks for intelligence, and make it a real communication, and change prayer from cries of desperation to communication. We start to synchronize our power as human beings. Because this is the power that they fear the most, the clarity and coherency of our intelligence. Every day when we wake up, we use our intelligence to create our reality for that day. Whatever the circumstances are that are going on, we use our intelligence to create our reality for that day. But we've been programmed to use our intelligence to create our reality on a daily basis based upon yesterday, or 20 years ago. And we need to think, because that's what's missing. I mean clear, coherent, objective thinking. Thinking for the ability to see. Seeking the ability to see. It isn't enough to use our intelligence to be smart or neurotic, intellectual. That's not enough. Our intelligence encompasses all those things, but our intelligence is much more than that. Because as I was saying earlier, in all the movement stuff that I've seen personally and just have studied or read about, that seems to be the missing thing. That's the missing thing. The people are emotionally reacting to a program that they've been programmed with. They're not initiating clear, coherent thought. And every emotional reaction is basically an act of desperation, which will only produce more desperation energy. And if we can look at and see the chaos and confusion that we cannot seem to overcome and understand our role in that chaos and confusion, then we will start to overcome it. Our Creator did not put us here to be defenseless. And to understand all human beings, we're all human beings, so, you know, we have a genetic memory. The genetic memory is really the memory of our individual and collective, but our individual journey through life from the very beginning. It's encoded in the DNA, this genetic memory. See, so collectively, in our common collective genetic memory, there's an ancestral memory of when we were all tribes and we were all children of Earth. There's a collective genetic memory, all right, that where every ancestor we're a descendant from at one point looked at the earth as the mother and the sky as the father. They understood that this is not so much a physical reality, it's a spiritual reality with the illusion of a physical thing to go through. They understood that we borrow today from the past as well as from the future. They understood that the purpose of life was a spiritual responsibility to protect life and keep a balance in life. That was their purpose. They understood all of these things, so they lived according to that way. And they had power. They knew what their power was. They understood their power. They had power. They manifested power. And then somewhere in the historical evolution, there appeared this other mindset that said, no. It's not about the mother Earth and a spiritual reality. It's about a religious reality and God. I mean, at first there were gods and goddesses, and they all battled it out until eventually, through the evolution, God won, right? It's, you know, salmon swimming up that stream. but when the gods, so by a couple thousand years ago, when pretty much, this is rough timelines, but a couple thousand years ago, by pretty much when it was defined by that gods were now the creators and the rulers of things, and then as it evolved into one God, religion emerged out of that. And when religion emerged out of that, what religion did was religion said, no, the earth is not the mother. The earth is God's property. And your mission is not to take care of the earth. Your mission is to subdue the earth and prosper for God. And not only, and so as this started to evolve and this idea got carried, every one of our ancestors resisted it. But every one of our ancestors were beaten down by the emerging technology that was coming out at that time, whether it was to make a stone knife and then a metal knife. Because the gods, they were very much into weapons of war and destruction. So those weapons of war and destruction were used upon the rest of the tribes through an evolutionary process. And then through history. And our ancestors resisted it because our intuitive spiritual reality was we are to protect the earth. We were given intelligence. We were given this time here, and our responsibility was to maintain a balance in the evolutionary reality. And we were given intelligence to do that, and as long as we use our intelligence as intelligently and clearly and coherently as we possibly can, then we get to, as human beings, we get to participate in the evolutionary reality. When we no longer use our intelligence clearly and coherently, then we will evolve ourselves out of the evolutionary reality because we're no longer healthy to the life form that is Earth. And in the end, and see, blaming somebody isn't going to stop it. It's about taking responsibility. Because what I find interesting, okay, I'm getting lost now, but all right. I find it interesting that in my generation, our whole thing was about freedom. You know, but I get older and I think about this. Well, hold it now. Why should I trust anything that ends in dumb? Right? Because there's something to words, and there's, you know, every word makes its own sound. So therefore, every word has its own meaning, because we're in a vibratory reality. So anytime you say a word, this word cannot mean that word, because this word makes its own sound in the vibratory reality, so it has its own power. But anyway, we were programmed to seek freedom. We were never taught to take responsibility. See, and that's an issue somewhere in our evolution to this better life. That's an issue, that is something that has to really, truly be looked at. It's a matter, because what does freedom mean? Freedom means nothing. It means whatever every individual thinks it means, all right? But responsibility is inherent. It's encoded. And what I mean is about freedom, because it really needs to be looked at, because if the racist stands up and says his racial things, well, see, if I believe in freedom, and I have the freedom to think and do whatever I want, then that means every other individual has that too. I mean, we cut right down to the chase on it. Every individual, no matter where they are on the class system or the gender system or the race system, when they stand up and speak their freedoms, they have that privilege. Because if I say, well, I believe in freedom, but I tell them they can't say that, then I don't believe in freedom, do I? Then I'm confused. I don't understand the language that I'm speaking. And it's a matter of synchronizing ourselves to the reality that we're in. So it's really about responsibility. And I think that in the course of, as time goes on, especially with the way conditions are going, that there needs to be, something needs to stimulate the thinking. Because, see, the trust I have in us as human beings is I know what we can do if we truly free our minds to think. Not to react and pretend we're thinking, but I mean to think. We can change it all. You know, it's like theoretically, if every person, every human being tomorrow woke up tomorrow and said, all right, I will not use my intelligence to enable the lie, it would change. This is how it thrives and how it grows. And as the way the mining process took place, when you look back to, see what, because this has got something to do about our recognition as human beings. And I know that by the time Columbus and the Europeans got to the Western Hemisphere, they no longer knew what it meant. See, I mean, that had been erased from their consciousness. Because when they got off the boat, they asked us who we were, and we said, we're the people, we're the human beings. And they said, oh, Indians. History would have us believe, right, that was because they thought they were in India. Reality tells me they didn't know what it meant to be a human being. That grasp, they couldn't grasp the concept. They could maybe say the words, but they couldn't grasp the concept. Because by the time Columbus got here, see, about 1100, sometime around that time, the church decided that it was God's government to serve God and be God's authority on earth. And you had a lot of ancestors running around Europe that just weren't going along with the program. They were praying to spirits, and they were following the old ways, and the women had power. And all these things were still going on, see. But by then, pretty much, the descendants of the tribes of Europe had been contained. They were owned by the royalty and the landlords, physically. But with their intelligence, they were still going to the spiritual way. So then the church, so that's when the church said, well, hold it now. We're God's government on earth, so we're going to have the Inquisitions. What the Inquisition was about, the church waged war to possess the souls of the godless people. So it was a war of possession. So they waged this war to possess the souls of the godless people, your ancestors, all right? And they did it as ruthlessly and efficiently as they possibly could with the technology that they had at hand. They killed millions, because this thing went on for 400 years. They killed millions of people. And why did they kill them? Because they thought differently. See, this is a very historical, clear case of altering how human beings perceive reality. That's what the Inquisition was all about. So at some point, the descendants of the tribes of Europe had to come to love. They had to come, in order to survive, just physically survive, they had to learn to love what they feared, and it was there to possess them. And see, so love, fear, and possession, and since that time, nobody's really untangled it. Because love, fear, and possession seem to be, it just kind of has its own little spreading thing now, whether it's on a one-on-one personal relationships thing or, you know. But that's where it came. It came in there. Sexism. Sexism also came during that time frame because when they made this decision that God lived away from Earth and was the owner of Earth, in order to attack the Earth, because everybody's consciousness was based upon the woman represented the Earth because she was the life bringer, all right? So in order to make this male-dominated thing fly, they had to attack the women in order to attack the Earth. See, so sexism isn't an there's not an economic solution. You know, that's sexism is connected to how the living relationship we have with the Earth. Our ability to deal with these things has got to come from us learning to recognize ourselves, learning to recognize what our abilities are, and understand ourselves and understand our abilities. Because the power of free thinking, when the power of free thinking starts to manifest, it can't be controlled. If we decide that that's what we're going to do, is to think freely. And I'm as some examples, and I'm going to throw this out here because, all right, now it's free thinking. Kingdom, fiefdom, serfdom. And I don't trust wisdom either because they tell me all. But I understand the concept of being free because that says it very concisely, being free. I understand the concept of wise, because that says it concisely. I just don't quite get it when they add the dumb part. And I think, you know, and this is more than just playing little cute games with words. There's realities to this. But the other thing now, and I know you're not going to agree with this, but I'm an Indian, so I can, see, I can be whoever I want. And I'm only talking about these things because it's just about to think about it. I'm not asking anybody to do anything other than maybe think about it. Democracy. Yeah. It's heroin. It's heroin for your consciousness. All right? Let's go. Every democracy has had sexism and land class systems and slaves. All right, every democracy. America's particular democracy, which this is scary to me just because it's so obvious, but nobody's looking at it. And that is America's majority rule illusion. When they decided that there was going to be majority rule, the Indians couldn't vote because they were the enemy and also the majority. Women couldn't vote because they were mentally incompetent and this was man's business. So they couldn't vote. Blacks couldn't vote because they were property. But they counted for 3/5 of a vote. And white males that did not own property couldn't vote because they had no taxable value. So the majority rule system that everybody so blindly follows, all right, was created and decided by the smallest minority and they were all gangsters and thieves. And this is historical reality, all right? This is very crucial. This is a historical reality. It's not me just venting. I mean, the venting is free. The reality is what it is. The historical reality is what it is. And we need to understand that. We truly, truly need to understand that. Democracy does exactly what it's supposed to do. It gives the people hope. That they can change things. But if one looks at history, historically speaking, the people haven't changed anything as far as the system exists itself. This is still middle dark age Europe with the royalty and the landlords and the peasants and the serfs. Guess who that is? The system itself never changed. The technology changes, the generations change, and the terminology changes. But the basic feeding pattern of the system itself remains the same. So as we go out to deal with the issues we have to do, because what I saw when I was younger and we were doing these things,
We spent so much time trying to make the world better and save the things that we wanted to save. We spent so much time attempting to do it within the definition of the democracy. And at some point in our evolution, we have a responsibility to the earth, we have a responsibility to the next generations, and we have a responsibility to us now. And that responsibility is every generation, within every generation, we are supposed to create the living patterns with the earth that will keep the balance of the earth. We're not supposed to take some old dogma and indoctrination, all right, that was terrorized into us, just like terrorized, because it was terrorized into you. When you were still the tribes of Europe, it was terrorized into you. And what they did, and then what the Europeans did to us, they did exactly to us what had been done to them. And it had to do to get us to believe. Now, here's another word I want to go to, believe. I don't believe anything. I know what I know, and I don't know what I don't know, and everything else I think about. Believe. I tried to believe, but there was a lie in the middle. B-E-L-I-E-B. All right, okay, so much for that. But I wanted to, trust me, I wanted to, but then that lie just kept slapping me around too much. Damn. When I caught on. All right? But everything that ever happened to us, historically speaking, about changing, altering how we perceive reality, the whole trip has all, and the indoctrination from the time we're born now, the whole trip is to make us believe their definition of reality. To believe them. See, and I think we have, because we have intelligence that our Creator gave us, I think we have a responsibility to use that intelligence to think. And not be in any form of denial. Well, you know, either I know or I don't know. And I think. See, I think believe is a word that should be used very, it's a very powerful and sacred word, so it should be used very, very carefully. It shouldn't be used haphazardously or habitually. It should be used with a real understanding of why we use the word. So what, democracy, freedom, believe, hope. Hope was the last thing that came out of Pandora's box of evil. All right, okay. When I was in school and they told me that the gods gave Pandora the box of evils and told her not to open it, but because she's a woman and just couldn't contain herself, she opened it and all the evils of the world came out. Yeah. And then the last thing to come out of that box was hope. And they said to us, you know, I'm like in a sixth or seventh grade. And they said, but hope came out. That was to help us cope. And I thought, no. At that age, I understood. I didn't really understand, but it didn't make sense to me. It's the box of evil, and hope came out. Now, if hope isn't evil, why doesn't hope have its own box? There's a reality to this. So whatever it is that we're doing, we need to face the reality of the situation we're surrounded by, because we can't make the beast go away. We have to participate with this predatory energy that's here. But it's very important for us to understand what it is that we're participating with. Because to just dislike it isn't enough. You can dislike something, and that doesn't mean one has understanding. Because our ability to overcome all of this is we have to outthink it. This truly is a battle of wits. It truly, truly is. And we have the ability to outthink it. Our numbers are huge. That's why they fear a clear and coherent mind. And what first tipped me off to this is when I was a political activist, you know, I got a lot of pages filed on me by various freedom enforcers, right? I got 17,000 pages between 1969 and 1979. They did 17,000 pages. Right? And whatever I did, I apologize to the forest. But when that happened and I saw that, the number of pages and just how insane these people are, that's when I understood they don't want us to think. See, that's what they fear. That's why all the spying and all the stuff. Was they want to know what people are thinking, because if people start to think coherently, then they infiltrate in some kind of a way and bring the disruptive energies and all of this. See, they don't want us to think. Our relationship to power is in clear and coherent thought. On an individual basis in our life, if we use it individually, we will have more balance in our life. And it will help us to do it collectively. And in order to get clear and coherent thought, all right, I think that we owe it to our Creator to be real to ourselves. You know, so we have to be, I'll use me as an example because it's easier to speak in the first person. No matter what I'm up to, I don't lie to myself about it. All right? I don't. I don't have a little denial rationalization. Well, they did this, and so I'm going to do that. Right? I don't lie to myself about what I do. Whether it's shameful or glorious, and I'm compelled to do it, I'm going to do it. But I'm real to myself about it. And what I'm learning from that is that, well, if I'm doing stuff that I can't handle, if I'm real to myself, I'll evolve it out of the thought behavior pattern. If I'm doing stuff that makes me uncomfortable, but I just can't let it go, then I do it. And I don't lie to myself about it. All right? Because, and if it's good stuff, I don't lie to myself about that either. Because how am I going to synchronize my power, my relationship to the reality of power, if I only try to participate as a part of me? And the parts I don't like, I deny them. We are to participate in this reality as a whole. And if we're carrying baggage that we can't really handle, if we're real to ourselves and we're carrying baggage that we can't handle, and the reality of being real to ourselves, we'll lay that baggage down. We won't carry it anymore. But this is about recognition. This is where the judging has to go. And we owe it to our Creator to be real to ourselves, because if we're not going to... Well, thank you, God, for giving me life and all that, but I'm just going to lie to myself about who I am. So we owe it to everything that we hold of spiritual value. And we all have our own, you know, perception and access to spiritual value because we're individuals in our own perceptions. But we owe it to everything that is sacred to us to fulfill our responsibilities as human beings. Be real to ourselves. Always be real about what we're doing. And always seek to understand what we're doing. Because in life, we get the information, and at some point, we have these learning experiences, and as we get the information, and pretty soon we get answers, we know. But the next step is to understand what we know, to understand it, because I think understanding is what's going to help to balance it all out. And for us, however we participate in the public forum, whether it's through radio or whatever form of the media it is, or however we do it, I think that what the community needs is coherency, clarity, and what makes sense. That's what the community needs. I think, what we as individuals need is we need to know, to understand that we've all been affected by this thing. So it's messed with our perceptional reality. The life experience has. But you know, the reality of life is life is a continuum of experiences, and we were given intelligence. All right, life is a continuum of experiences, and what we're supposed, our responsibility is to learn from those experiences. To learn from those experiences, all right, and recognize these experiences for what they were, and however we were ever individually traumatized, however it came, because trauma, somebody brings trauma, you know, either as an act of God or some human being, all right, but everybody, see, because I think trauma, that's what locks us into this reality. I think that's what imprisons us when we first get that first trauma that locks in. That just solidifies the limitations, because before the trauma comes in, you know, like when we're little kids, we can be in any reality, you know, and it's all fine. You know, when we're little kids, we know how to daydream. But when we're adults, then we brood. We get depressed, right? We don't use that same energy. We just been mistaught on how to use it. See, we should never underestimate our own value. And how, because whatever it is that we're choosing to do to participate in a community, we need to do the best that we can with the best that we have, and that's about bringing as much clarity and coherency as we can to the issues. Clarity and coherency. Objectivity, so that we can recognize the Dene. The Navajo have this way, they have this saying that kind of comes back to, when there's something in front of you, and no matter what it is, when it's in front of you and you have to make these decisions, you should recognize it. So you should look at it from the top and the bottom and the center and from every side and every angle. See it for every aspect, and then you will see the answer that is the most coherent. Okay, now, speaking of coherent, mine is leaving. So, but whatever I've had to say, I wanted it to make sense to what your overall objective is here. You know, but I don't want to stand up here and tell you stuff that you already know, right? And maybe you already know this, and I'm just living in my own little fantasy. But our value is to think clearly and coherently. That is the only relationship to power that we truly, truly have. They tell us money will make us powerful. The more money you get, the more powerful we can become. That's a lie. See, the more money you get, then that's access to authority. Doesn't give you power. I've met some people that got a lot of money, but I wouldn't give you it. They don't have any power. You know, they're the most powerless individuals I ever met. Just because they have money, which means they can be ruthless or kind, varying degrees of kindness, whatever their behavior symptoms are, it doesn't make them powerful. Actually, it usually makes them more insecure. So money isn't, that doesn't give us power. The military and having the most violent, biggest gun, violent military, that doesn't give us power. That gives one, maybe that might give one access to authority, but it does not give us power. And we need to make some kind of an understanding with this, because if we just recognize power under those definitions, we will never see ourselves in the light of power. Because maybe we don't want to have all the money. See, maybe we don't want to have the guns. But if we go around believing that that represents power, then we will never see ourselves in the real light of power, because that shadow will be there. And whatever it is that we've ever done in our lives, you know, whatever it may be, it didn't invalidate us. You know, and I'm going to read one more poem and then... And I thank you for getting whatever you got out of what I said. You know, and about that human being part, right? Being just is, right? Just is. It always is. The human part may die and pass on, but the being remains. Being is. That's the relationship power we have, right? And it's a spiritual relationship, not a scientific, right? So anyway, I thank you for getting whatever you got out of this, and happiness is how we feel about ourselves. The good we think, the good we feel, the good we do. We are part of the dream time. Happiness is one of the colors. There are shadow casters who trick us about happiness. We are taught to wish for things to make us happy. We are not taught to dream for happiness itself. We can't buy happiness. We can't sell it. We can't steal it. We can't borrow it. And we can't capture it. But we can create it. Love can't bring us happiness. But happiness can bring us to love. Power can't bring us happiness. But happiness can show us power. On the line of what is real and what really isn't. Dream for happiness. Somewhere between heart and mind, the spirit of life can be seen. Happiness comes any way to dream. And I thank you for giving me your time.
Thank you, John Trudell. I don't know about other stations, but John has played many a benefit for KMUD. Thank you. So they'll be setting up for the B-side players, so we'll be having a good time.